WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Play those blues and beat them drum. Hey, you're inside Rock and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We're going to May 1st and 2nd. Big news is, man, arrival of the bluefish. Big ones, battalions, gators, slammers, choppers, gorillas, whatever you want to call them, fish to 18 pounds I've seen. Whoa, it's happening now. Sporadic areas up and down the coast. I mean, far north as Manasquan. They haven't reached Belmar yet from what I understand. They got some down around Stone Harbor. They got some down around Sea Isle. They got some down around Ocean City, here and there, up in the inlets. And I'll tell you, this will be the fourth year since we had a run in late April, early May. It lasted into June with these big bluefish. I mean, for 3 years straight, it was crazy. You couldn't find an Ava or a runoff lure metal on a on a tackle shop peg anywhere. It was insane. As things changed, numbers dwindled. Now we have the three fish limit. If you're on a four hire boat, party boat, charter boat, whatever, it's going to be five fish. But hopefully this run will last. The drum bite is on. Coming up in our next couple of segments, Captain Steve Bent, Free Spirit Sport Fishing, our annual Bada Bing Bada Boomer drum show is going to be super. And some habitat improvement for woodcock. Whoa. Hey, racking the universe, parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, hunting season in whatever form, be it actual hunting, be it habitat improvement, but whatever, is a 12-month-a-year deal. And we hope to close it up with a fishing report or two. The Striped Bass Pump Bonus Program kicks off May 15th. They're still accepting applications from the hunting end, man. We saw this coming. Shout out to Ronnie Jones at ACP Red X Pride Game Calls and Outdoor Sense. Effective May 10th, Division of Fish and Wildlife has announced hunting regulations will, check this out, the deer police. Ban the possession, sale, and use of all natural deer-derived hunting lures, in parentheses, urine and glandular secretions to help safeguard the health of the state's deer herd from the threat of chronic wasting disease. All natural deer-derived hunting lures must be disposed of in your household trash. Okay, let's see. Are they enforcing the no feeding the bears thing up there in North Jersey with all the antis that are getting... Let's see if they enforce this. Hey, man, that's a topic for another show. Grab that cup. Grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Captain Steve Bent. Free Spirit Sport Fishing Center in Utch's Marina. Bang. Booze. Drum. It is time. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
This
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Hutch was right. Shout out to Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor, Fisherman Magazine, New Jersey and Delaware Bay edition. Incredible report. He told me before, he says, Tommy P, we're at the thing with the dogwoods. The friggin' gnats are out, and that means the drum are here. Hutch was on last week with the drumbo challenge, or the black drum challenge, black drum battle, so to speak, whatever. But, yep, it is happening now. They've been catching a few over in Great Bay. Now, this is what Tom P. calls a time, bada bing, bada boomer. Delaware Bay, Slaughter Beach, maybe on the Delaware side. Are there some here? Are some being caught? Let's get the lowdown, some tips, tactics. Captain Steve Bent, Free Spirit Sport Fishing down there in Utch's Marina in Cape May. 43 years strong as a charter boat skipper and, even more impressive, a public school educator. Maron de mi. And the guy looks great. He never seems to age. And his measured enthusiasm really gets you fired up, especially when it comes to beating some drum and talking about Britneys and their hunting prowess. Captain Steve Bent, great to have you back on Rock and Fin Long. Time no see, Skipper!
Yeah, it's been too darn long, Tom, I'll tell you. Well, I got to notice something here. You can talk pretty damn fast, Skipper.
It's a big Italian family, you know what I mean? If you didn't get a word in edgewise, yeah. You had no comment, then you got your ass kicked.
Yeah, if you don't talk fast, you don't get a word in, right?
Exactly right. Steve, the gnats, the dogwoods, boom, boom. I know you told me earlier in the week that the boat is almost ready to go in, or it's in already. And, man, it is time. Again, I love to say this again. Bada bing, bada boomer. Because the boomers are in, Steve. What do you think now? Yesterday, Friday, that wind was, I mean, that put, whoa, Yo, I put pretty much everything down. I mean, I'm driving down. I was on a parkway, or no, I was on Route 55 coming down to Wind, and that old big clunky Xterra I drive, I was all over the road. That's all settled. Steve, the upcoming week or two or three, when do you expect this really roll in to start?
I'll tell you, Tom, we just got last Monday was a full moon. I had some people out on Saturday or Sunday. The water temperature was like 53 and got to the bottom of the tide. It got to be 56. Good buddy Bill caught a couple of small fish, and I kind of brought the flowers to that one, but I don't think that's going to happen anymore. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Delaware side. Well, I'll be honest with you, Tommy, I haven't been on the Delaware side in 3 years.
Right.
You know, because of the fact we don't have a saltwater license, we have to pay $300
sure.
to go fish
there, yeah.
on that side. So,
oh, yeah.
So that ain't happening. But we've had the best drum fishing I've had in, over the last 6-7 years on the Jersey
side. Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's fine with me. We only have to run, you know, a few miles instead of running 12. And the fishing has been darn good. I expect it's just going to keep coming here. I think we've got about 10 days to the new moon.
Right.
And as you know, the moon seemed to be the best time to fish these fish. And I believe that's because they're a tidal flow. First of all, your tides in the evening are higher. And secondly, the tidal flow is stronger. If you look at the tide tables, you mm-hmm. find that out. But, you know, the water temperature's good. I go out in the backyard and I got to wear insect repellent for the damn gnats. The dogwoods are blooming, and they're not just blooming; they're full trees now. I'm ready, man. As a matter of fact, we start really hitting them hard just the end of this coming week. I generally try not to book real early, just in case the water temperature's low. But from about before Mother's Day. Normally, we start to catch them, and we'll have them right up through the second week of June.
Captain Steve.
Well, 1 year, you remember a few years ago, we had them until July 4th. Unbelievable.
I remember on your boat, we scored them. That was late June. It did go to July 4th because it was late June 21st, 22nd, 23rd. We were on the boat. And Steve, we were just, I had enough already, please. Denise is like, I'm beat it. And she's tough. You know, she's tough. Had enough. So you've seen them that late. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, we were going tuna fishing and watching the headboats come in from drum fishing. But that's right, not a normal thing. I'd say the next month, probably from about the next 5 weeks, is probably the best. And it's the only, like I've told you before, we've talked about it, the only fish that tells you they're coming.
Yep.
And when people go on the boat, they generally catch the biggest fish they've ever caught, unless they're offshore fishermen.
Right.
You go out there and you anchor up in 30 feet of water and you catch fish away anywhere from 30 to 80, 90 pounds. Biggest one I've caught was 97 pounds, and that's after I let him 3 hours later. I weighed him. He was 97 pounds, so he was a pretty good-sized fish. But the nice thing about them is that they fight hard. You know, I have people in the past who say, oh, you go black drum fishing? I go, yep, we do. They say, oh, well, you know, they're like pulling in an old boot. I say, well, how many of them have you caught? Well, I never caught one. Tom P. told me about it. He said, you drag them on the boat.
I said,
well, let me try this for you. You know, we're sitting here in 20 feet of water. We got a two-knot tide running. They got a tail about the size of a broom.
Yep.
And, you know, they're like a tuna on downers. They don't have the speed, but they got the power. They're like mm-hmm. a fullback. You know, I love the fish. I really do. Somebody says, what's your favorite fish to catch? I'll tell you, they're right up there, you know, in the top three or four. And we do a lot of fishing for a lot of fish. But drum fish are nice. You don't go out there and you don't get seasick usually because you're fishing in the bay. You don't have to go at 5 o'clock in the morning and drive for 2 hours before you get there. You can go around 1:30, 2 o'clock. And we're generally back at the dock before the streetlights come on. So, you know, that's a great fisher.
That is a patented Tom P. Prime Quarry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you don't even have to wake up.
Except for stock trout, but we know that. We're speaking with Captain Steve Bent, Free Spirit Sport Fishing, Utch's Marina and K-Bay. Topic is the black drum bite that is starting. It's going to extend, as Captain Steve says, through May into June, and we shall see. Hey, Steve, we're up against a hard break. No, hold on a second. Can we I need a couple. Yeah. Okay, Steve, we're going to get to a little break later. But what I want to ask you, Steve, in your experience now, it's getting going. Everyone's getting revved up, pun intended. You had these big fish coming in and bigger fish and bigger fish. Steve, as they're arriving, pods smaller, what they call the puppies. I can't imagine a 35-pound fish
being
called
a puppy. 30 pounds.
Yeah, right, coming in. Yeah. Are they traveling together? Are there schools mixed in sizes? What's the dealio?
Well, it's hard to say that, Tom. Sometimes you get a school of – and they are a school fish. People don't understand that sometimes. But they're a school fish, and they ride the tide. They're lazy. They're not like stripers that swim against the tide. They ride with the tide. So, you know, it really depends. I kind of like throw the baits in the water and see what eats.
Okay.
So that's how I look at it.
But, Steve, have you caught, you know, 15, 20, 30-pounders, and all of a sudden the next bite's a 60 or 70?
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. I had a guy one time, never caught big fish. Fellow from Pennsylvania. He caught about a 30-pounder, and I threw it back. He says, oh, what'd you do that for? That's the biggest fish I ever caught. I said, well, hang on for a second, Bob. You know, and about 20 minutes later, he catches one about 45 pounds. I said, eh, it's a nice one, splash. The guy goes, oh, my God, that was the biggest. I said, be patient, my friend. Well, he ended up catching a 65-pounder, and he wanted to go home after that because, although, as I say, the people tell me these fish don't fight, they will kick your ass, Skipper.
Absolutely. So, Steve,
they absolutely will.
Okay, people, being how do they say it? Wussy. I can't say the other than I am. I've done it on your boat, Bent. Here, but say, here, who wants this? and those are the 65. Steve, in that current, with that body, that body that goes gets big and round and goes to the, like you said, that broom shaped tail. They will listen. Maybe you want to think of doing a little workout before maybe going to the gym. Your lower back, your core, your thigh muscles, and your shoulders are going to get a workout.
Oh yeah, then everybody after the like you say, everybody catches a fish or two. And by the way, let me throw something in there about conservation here, Tom, because I think it's important.
Sure.
The only people that really affect this fishery are the sport fishermen. The commercial guys go out, they drop a net on a school, they catch enough for the year. And by the way, 2 weeks ago, they were selling black drum down there at the Lobster House fillets.
Anyway, oh, wow.
If something happens to this fishery, it's because of us. If everybody goes out there and keeps a limit, you're allowed three a man. If everybody goes out there and keeps a limit every day, we're going to do to them what seems to be happening to the stripers, over the past few years. And I just can't, I don't do that. I say to people, look, we'll catch one. Everybody can keep one. If you want to keep more, let's keep the fish. Sometimes these big fish will, they're almost dead when they come to the boat.
Sure.
They fight so hard.
They fight to the end. Yeah.
And if we can't revive them, which I try to do, over the side of the boat. It's not mouth to mouth, though, Tom. Don't worry about it. Okay.
He said that for my benefit.
I keep the fish. And another thing about these fish is when you clean them, they're a real trip because people try to clean them. Some guy says, I clean them. I use a hoe. I said, what kind of a hoe do you use? I didn't want to get too deeply into that. But anyway, there's a method for cleaning them, and they're very good eating. People don't understand that.
Dave, I call them the veal chop of the bay, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they have a different texture, but if you treat them like veal. I had one guy who had 8 or 9 of them one day. There were 6 people, and we kept 3 that were not going to make it. And he sent me some pictures where he had drum parmesan, and he had breaded drum, and he had drum fingers, and oh, hell, he had all kinds. And you know what? The big fish. You take the ribs off them, you lay them on the grill with a little bit of barbecue sauce, whatever you want to put on them.
Steve, phenomenal.
Stand back, Skipper. There's a lot of meat on them, and they're very, very good eating.
Just phenomenal. Yeah. In fact, Steve, that's what I concentrate on when we get the drum. I claim the rib section.
Absolutely.
It's mine, and that's the way it is.
Because you ain't stupid, Skipper.
Hey, we're Captain Steve Bent, Free Spirit Sport Fishing. That's what we're going to Cape May. Black Drum is a story up against a hard break. Be right back. Rockin' Radio. Captain Steve, you're in for another segment at least. Grab that cup. Grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio rocks.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Let's check in at the New Jersey Lottery Scratch-Offs Division.
Elevator going up.
Jerry, I didn't see you behind the...
The new Super 50X ticket? The biggest scratch-off in Jersey? Come on, squeeze in.
It doesn't leave much room.
Well, it's got to fit 50 chances to win.
Wow.
It's a big deal.
Kevin, you're in here too?
Hey-o.
With so many chances to win, the Super 50X ticket is too big to miss, because anything can happen in Jersey.
Is anyone else in here?
Must be 18 or older to buy a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Bounding, beating, banging up the drum with Captain Steve Bent, Free Spirit Sport Fishing. As I say, this is my annual Bada Bing, Bada Boomer show. That boomers. Yes, they boom, whatever. I want to ask Captain Steve the question. What is that booming sound sensation all about, Cap? Is it mating? They looking for love? They looking for food? What's it all about?
Yeah, I think I'm told they're looking for love. Oftentimes, you know, you can hear these. You can feel these fish coming. You can feel them through the deck of the boat. It makes it vibrate at times. People don't believe it. Matter of fact, I generally don't run my FM radio for songs and stuff when we're drum fishing, because people love to hear them, you know. And oftentimes when you're catching them and you hear them, they're beating the bottom of the boat out. Oftentimes you can't catch them then. But at some point in time, these suckers have got to eat. And if you know you're in the midst of them, my suggestion is don't even move, Skipper. Stay right where you are, because sooner or later they're going to get love out of their mind and they're going to – off their mind, rather – and they're going to want to eat. And when they want to eat, I want to be there.
Now, Steve, when you're in a hot spot, again, there's not that spot, right? Tussies, the pin top, whatever. And, Steve, fish are coming in. It's so you know they're there. They're reading, not biting. Is it on the right tide, right time, right moon, whatever? Is it a constant wave? Are they 10, 15 minutes behind each other? The schools, masses come in, little pods here and there. What's the story?
Everything you said, Tom.
Okay.
Sometimes I pulled up. I wasn't doing anything one day. I ran up the bay a little bit. And where we fish these fish, they breed in the deeper water, but they feed up on the flat. So what I tried to do is anchor along the edge of a flat.
Okay.
That way I'll get them going onto the flat to feed, and I'll get them coming off of the flat to get a little push, you know what I mean? Anyway, I like about them is that they're not like picky, you know. Right. When a drum eats a bait, there isn't too much doubt about it. The guys see the rod tip and it goes tick, tick, ting, ting, a couple times, and they say, "Oh, I'll get." I said, "No, just leave it right there. Just don't worry about it." And then all of a sudden, the rod folds up and the reel streams, and off they go. I say, "Pick that thing up now, will you?" And they do. And we're using all circle hooks for these fish too, Tom. That's real important.
Sure.
Got about a the most 2.5 foot leader to a fish finder rig, and as much weight as you need to get it down and keep it down.
Clam's got to be on the bottom, correct? That fresh clam on the bottom?
Yeah, you said the word fresh, Tom, and that's important. Other thing about your baits is you want to make sure you're using the whole clam. We're using those surf turkeys, you know? You want to make sure your bait's fresh, but not just fresh. Because there's a lot of junk fish out there. There's little weak fish, believe it or not. There's kingfish. Catch a kingfish on a 9-0 circle hook. Figure that out. Anyway, all the scent on those baits comes from the belly of the clam. So when you open the clam, you want to open it carefully enough so you don't cut into the belly, because it'll get washed away quickly. But you bring the bait in, you got this great big tongue there, you know, great big chunk of bait, and you say, that's perfect. Well, check it out and see if there's any belly left on it, because if there isn't, you better change it. We'll go through a bushel of clams in the tide, and I'm fishing six rods. Yeah.
Now, Cap, the take of a drum on the clam, you mentioned tap, tap, and then the rod folding. Are there times when it's just a tentative bite and it's a matter of timing, or are they every time it's that commitment's made, that rod's down and all hell breaks loose?
Well, what I found with them is, now, I don't have the, Delaware Bay isn't the most clear water in the world, you may have noticed. As a matter of fact, like we say down there, green is clean. And sometimes you'll get the fish up to the boat, you'll have the weight out of the water and you can't see the fish. They're feeding by scent.
Okay.
They're feeding by scent. So I think what they do is they generally come in, they ride the tide in, which is why you really don't want people to be anchored up tide of. You want? Understood. I don't care if people are below me. That's fine because the drum got to go by me to get to them.
Right.
But bass fishing is just the opposite. But I think what they do is they ride that tide and they're swimming along and they smell something. They turn around and they come back up into the tide where they can get the smell of the bait, and they go to pick it up and they say, "Son of a gun, this is good, but it ain't no shell on it." But that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And then they turn and they use the tide to swim away again, and when they turn, that's the hook in the corner of their mouth, and
that's it.
And that's when, as you say, the defecation hits the circulating device, shall we say.
Well, Steve, again, the magic word, clam, fresh clam, surf turkey. Yep. I heard a guy in a tackle shop today, they call them surf cookies or whatever. Availability now, Steve, are clams in super tight supply as in previous years? Sometimes it was crazy.
It really depends on the wind, Tommy, if the guys can't get off and catch them. But we have another little secret that people don't know too much about. And we'll fish them with blue claws. We'll cut a blue claw in half, break the shell off, take off the claw, and hook them through the swimmer.
Okay.
And, the swimmer leg.
Yeah, yeah.
And it works well as well. These fish don't care what they eat as long as they're eating. One advantage to fishing, I always have a dozen or two blue claws on the boat because if there's a lot of junk down there chewing you up, they have a lot harder time chewing up a crab than they do a clam. But I know people have gone to just fishing them with crabs and they catch fish.
Wow.
So you've always got that option as well.
Well, Cap, here's the thing: are they catching the crabs in a lagoon? Don't they have to be God forbid you're checked. Not God forbid if it happens, you're checked. Those on crabs have to be that 4.5-inch minimum.
Well, you buy them; they already are.
All right, yeah, I'm just saying, the guys that catch them in the lagoons and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
right. You're right. They do have to be that minimum.
Okay, now, Cap.
Now, I guess you're fishing with soft shells, but that gets damn expensive.
Yeah, but here's the deal too. Now, if we're on a boat, you're out of clams, using the crabs, I'm fine with that. I want to save the claws for my pot of gravy. Yeah, I call it gravy.
Absolutely, but you'll have to fight me for them.
Okay, we're speaking, Captain Steve Bent, Free Spirit Sport Fishing, Hutchins Marina in Cape May. Well, Cap, let's get to the prime times. Again, you said you're there in the. You launch your end the fishing spot by 2:00, 2:30 maybe, and you're back before the street lights are on. Are there instances? I always heard before I moved down to the South Jersey area, it is beautiful place, both beautiful place in the Garden State. Black drum night. You have to go at night. If you ain't going at night, you ain't catching anything. So you seem to like that's not actually true, is it?
Nah. A lot of guys, I think they sit overnight because they're there. We're here, let's stay. It's tough fishing at night because you can't see the bites.
Right.
And it's not near as much fun. And I've also found that if you get that incoming tide in the afternoon and it's high up around those between 6:30 and 8:30 at night, that seems to be the best, especially once the water temperature gets up. Now, if the water temperature's low, you may want to fish the low tide because the water in the bay gets heated pretty heavily by the sun during the day.
Right, right.
And you can get a difference. I've seen differences of 8 degrees in the water temperature on these things when the tide started off.
Whoa.
So, that's something to think about, too. And, your best bet for folks that are coming down to try this themselves, unless they don't want to jump on the Free Spirit, they want to fish their own boat, your best bet is to check with the hang on just a second.
Sure.
Steve, I'm on the phone.
There you go.
my grandson just came down to tell me he was here.
There you go.
But your best bet is to talk to the tackle stores like Jim's or any of the juniors, any of the stores that are selling bait, because they have an idea of when this is happening,
sure,
on what tide. sometimes it doesn't make a damn bit of difference, to tell you the truth. When they're eating, they're eating, you know.
Steve, I've seen that. We've experienced that on your boat over the years. Of me fishing, me and lovely Dee Marie fishing. I've sent relatives of fishery, Steve, that had still a fish of a lifetime. But, Cap, let's get to the tackle. You recommend, I mean, because some people go, they're way overgunned, although because you're running the 100-pound fish, you can't be too overgunned. But I've seen boats out there, yeah, we're going drum fishing. I'm looking at this stuff saying Tom Pedone's saying they won. They're doing it. You don't want to, you know, get them upset, get them all depressed. And two, you don't need an ass kicking. So, Steve, go into the tackle on the Free Spirit. I want the rods, the reels, the lines in particular, okay, the lines, using, the braid, the leaders.
Yeah, I use, I'm using Finnor reels. And I use all high seas line. And I tell you something about high seas. They have a great assortment. Everything from line and leaders to snap swivels and stuff like that.
That's American wire, right? American wire.
That's all I fish. But I use about a 60-pound leader, and I usually use fluorocarbon.
Why?
Not for any reason except that it's more abrasion resistant than mono.
Okay.
Because, you know, as I say, green is clean, and they can't see the bait anyway. So you don't get the advantage of fluorocarbon with that. But it does give you a little more abrasion resistance.
Okay.
And I'm using like an 8 or 9-0 circle hook.
Brand.
Now, you know, with a bass around, you're supposed to use straight circle hooks for them. And by the way, we do catch a few bass every now and then this way. But either way, the drum don't care if they're offset or in line circle hooks. They just kind of gulp it down and get on their way.
What brand hook though, Steve? Because I know you're extremely particular.
Well, I'm using the Gamakatsu 8-0s, and owner has a 9-0 as well. But it's not, the owner 9-0s are about the same size as the 8-0 Gamakatsus. Gamakatsus are a real good hook. Everybody knows that. Yeah. You know, I mean they're a quality hook. But and some guys fish them with J hooks. Well, I kind of like the circle hook because you throw the bait out, and I have some rod holders there that I can lay down. I can fish 6 rods off the back of the boat, and they're down at an angle. They're called bent butts, and there's a fellow that makes them, and the bent butts allow me to get the rod down low so that I can spread them out. And when they actually throw it out there, and when the fish eats and the rod folds up, you just pick it out of the rod holder.
And there you go.
The rods I'm using, I use Tsunamis. Tsunamis have they're making an excellent rod at a reasonable price.
Exactly.
And I don't think, if you have your own boat and you'd like to have your own custom-built tackle, that's fine. But it's kind of overgunning it for these fish, you know. Mm-hmm. But I use the same rods chunking bass. I use the same rods trolling for stripers, you know. Heck, I even use the same rods that I'm using tog fishing. They're like a medium-heavy action, 6.5, 7 foot.
Perfect.
And the line I'm using 65-pound test braid. Now, you can fish them with mono, but the thing I like about braid is, first of all, it's smaller diameter. It doesn't balloon out in the current, and boy, you got some current there.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. You can hear it running behind the boat when you're anchored. And the thing about it, too, is if you have a mixture of mono and braid out there, they don't lay in the water the same. And so it's easier to tangle, you know. So I fish the braid. Now, I'm not fishing them with 20 pounds of drag. I'm fishing them with probably 10, 12 pounds of drag at the most.
Mm-hmm.
My idea is to have tackle that's heavy enough to handle them because I do want to release them if I can. And everybody understands that. You know what's neat, Tom? People think that's a great idea. You know, it's not like you have to. It used to be you go back to the dock and you'd stack the fish up and everybody'd say, oh, you had a hell of a day.
Right.
But what really matters is that the people on the boat had a hell of a day. And if, you know, that's what really matters.
That's what it's all about. Now, Cap, I want to get to you. The end game. You have a 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 pound plus fish. Let's go on the top end of that. Say 60, 70, 80 plus on that side of the boat. A net? Are you doing a boga grip thing? I've seen some guys actually stick their hand and you'll pull. What's the dealio, Cap?
Well, I use for the smaller fish, for the puppies, the 30, 35, 40-pound fish, I'll oftentimes net them. And if not, I use a short-handled gaff with like a 3-inch hook on it.
Okay.
The important thing about drumfish is if you try and gaff them like you gaff a normal fish, good luck, skipper.
Yeah, boing.
The only place you can gaff them is underneath. They have armored scales. If you're a guitar player, you want to grab a few of them. You can use them as guitar picks. They're like tarpon scales.
Mm-hmm.
And they just bounces off. But I like to use a small gaff like that because if I can, I stick it in their lower jaw.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not killing them, and they're not bleeding. And if I want to release them, I can. And if I don't want to release them, I can still get them in the boat. So,
sure.
You know, that's. But the important thing is to get from underneath them. Don't try and net them. Don't try and gaff them from the top because it won't work.
Exercise and futility. Well, Captain Steve, the deal with the meat now. Again, because we love to eat them, but again, the conservation aspect of it is that, I mean, you get a 40, 50 pound. Again, the drum structure, I realize that the skeletal structure of a drumfish, all members of the Croker family or Krokers are members of the drumfish, whatever.
Whatever.
It's not really that great yield as per size, but the quality of the meat.
No.
I mean, how much really can you eat? You get a 70, 80 pound fish. That's still plenty of meat for more than a few meals.
Well, most of the fish you catch are not going to be 80 pounds, Tommy. Right. They're going to be between probably 50 and 70.
Right.
Okay. And the meat that comes off them, first of all, it's probably going to be a couple inches thick.
Yep.
But you hear these people talk about, oh, you don't eat the drumfish. They got all these worms in them.
Jeez.
Well, that's kind of a crock.
Yeah.
I mean, last year I think I caught two with worms.
I've seen it twice in all my years, Cap. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just extra protein, Tom. Think of it that way. But most of the time, it's back right at the base of the tail, if there are any. And like I say, last year, I don't think I had two. And you just cut it out. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of, when you clean them and you take the skin off, it's interesting. You skin them before you fillet them.
Right.
You have to because it looks like a suitcase when you get through. You know, the skin folds back and you can cut the meat off them.
Scott, listen to me. I swear way back when the War of the Roses and all that stuff, the English and the French, they shielded their horses with that stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. I'll tell you. I wouldn't be surprised, Tommy. I'm not sure they'd stop a bullet, but I think they'd stop an arrow. You know? So, hey. Anyway, the important thing about these fish, what I do when I get them to the boat is I don't ice them. What I do is I slide a half inch rope through their gills,
right,
and I cut their throat and let them bleed.
Mm-hmm.
That way, the meat is in much better shape.
Primo.
And they're only going to be, they're in the water for, you know, a few hours. But when you get them home and you get them off the boat, the meat's never in bad shape. But you want to make sure you ice it real good. And of course, I have some pretty good sized plastic bags that I supply to my customers.
Right.
Where we seal them up, I like to keep fresh water off them because they're a saltwater fish. But
exactly.
That's my own thought.
Yeah. That's the cardinal. What was that? The cardinal sin? No, the mortal sin. I've seen that putting fresh water on saltwater fish. Captain, oh yeah, that's when the nuns would beat me. You're going to hell, Tommy. Okay, Cap, rubbing against a hard break. How about that website, Facebook page, phone number, Captain Steve Bent, Free Spirit Sport Fishing. If you have any opening dates, Cap, I think you're in that almost full book train, so to speak.
Well, I still have some dates, Tommy. I don't have too many weekend dates, but I still got some dates. And truthfully, somebody says, well, what's the best day? And my answer to that is, whatever one's open, let's go catch them.
And let me interrupt the captain, the Commodore, as I call him, the commander, the Commodore. You're going to love this Calvin Beale Nor'easter boat. I mean, you can stretch out, you can relax, bring a basketball. Fishing slow. Captain has one that's portable. We shoot some hoops. Yeah. What's that, a 13.5, 40-foot beam?
Yeah, 13-foot beam, but the cockpit's 13 by 13. You know, you can do a little line dancing if you're really into it.
Very comfortable boat. Captain Steve, so again, Facebook, phone number, go.
Yeah, freespiritsportsfishing.com. That's me. And on Facebook, it's Free Spirit Fishing LLC. And I don't do the other things because that's a pain in the neck.
I hear you, Cap. I'm from the same bent. Pun intended.
Oh, my God.
Captain Steve.
Another joke.
Bestie, hope to see you sometime in the next few weeks. You be good. Family, be great. And we'll see you soon. And Tom P. Tom P. on Delaware Bay. Look out! Look out!
Hey, Tommy.
Yes.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Tell your lady that I hope her arm's better.
That,
if you're gonna get hurt, you might as well get hurt fishing.
Cap.
You know what I mean?
You want my love? I love you, Dee Marie. I'm telling you. I want that one more pool, one more brook trout. That we're in a cavern. We're in a glacier. We're climbing over rocks. My lovely Dee Marie. One last. Okay, but I'm going to try to get over these rocks to find a better way half mile back to the truck so we can leave here. Ow! Steve, what a disaster. Fell, but she did not break her St. Croix rod. Broke her wrist, but not her St. Croix rod. The first thing she said,
well,
I said, babe, let me get you up. Don't step on the rod. Don't step on the rod.
Yeah, well, you can, you know, wrists heal, but rods don't.
Exactly. Well, Captain Steve, we hope to see you next couple of weeks, and you'll be good, and great luck in the first few trips before Tom P. invades Utch's Marina. We'll see you, man.
All right, take care. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, one more time with that phone number, Steve.
609-703-6639. I'll answer it.
Okay, we'll see you, Cap. Take it. Hey, and to your grandson, say, Tom P.'s in the house! We'll see you later, Steve.
All right, my friend.
Bye-bye. Way long on that segment. Up against the break. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Captain Steve Bent. Free Spirit Sport Fishing. Bada bing, bada boomer. The time is here. The next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Big game fishing within. You're looking at. You're watching people walk their dogs there along the beach. You're looking at the homes. Big game fishing close to home. In close. These drum will kick your ass. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. The Biden administration's concerned about the explosion of COVID cases in India. So starting Tuesday, the U.S. will restrict travel from the subcontinent.
Making matters worse there, the spread of multiple variants of the virus. Nearly 400,000 new cases were reported Friday with thousands of deaths.
Fox's Lauren Blanchard. And the U.S. Army releases a report on last April's murder of Specialist Vanessa Guillen at Fort Hood.
The commanding general of U.S. Army Forces Command, Michael Garrett, confirms Guillen was sexually harassed by her platoon leader. She reported it, and Army leaders failed to act. Federal investigators say Specialist Aaron Robinson bludgeoned her to death. The investigation also found a series of missteps that allowed Robinson to escape, and when confronted by police, he shot himself.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Mostly sunny skies today, the high 68. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 52. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow and warmer, Sunday's high 82. Patchy clouds tomorrow night, low 61. Cloudy with a shower Monday afternoon, Monday's high 78. And Tuesday, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 88. I'm AccuWeather's Sally Sherman on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Man, I'll tell you, those bluefish, ho ho! Ho ho, are they making their presence known? The thing I said in my blog, how many and how long will they be here? It's been 4 years since we had an early run like this. I'm seeing some huge fish. My phone was going off yesterday at 4:30, quarter five in the morning. It is going absolutely nuts. Hey, on the hunting end of things, hey, man, hunting is a 12-month-a-year scene on Rack and Fin Radio. There's going to be a habitat improvement project for woodcock. Now, we always talk about the stock pheasants. We talk about the plight of the quail, talk about the plight of the rough grouse. Man, I do miss my grouse from Stokes all the way down to portions of the Barrens. But we have a project going on. It's going to be Sunday, May 16th. The Jersey Shore chapter of the American Woodcock Society. Yeah, I didn't even know about it either, man. The Jersey Shore chapter Woodcock Society. I love my woodcock. When I first came down here, shout out to Dick Wood there in Marmora. Hunting is right around Christmas Eve, a couple days before Christmas Eve when the season reopened. We had those couple of big nor'easters coming down and hunting down by Woodbine, Belle Plaine, woodcock everywhere. Now, I was used to North Jersey where you walked around. If you flushed one, you said, the hell was that? Here they were. I mean, I never saw it, and I was hooked for a while, and then other things came in, and haven't really hunted them on purpose in a while. But it's been, from what I understand, the woodcock are, again, a migratory bird. And it's been steady insofar as I think it's, what, a three-bird limit. We have the split seasons here. But joining us online right now is Mark Dreyfus. He is the president of the Jersey Shore chapter, American Woodcock Society. Tell us about this event, May 16th, habitat improvement. Hey, people, it's all about the habitat. As Lou Gambale from the National Wild Turkey Federation says, save the habitat, save the hunt. You ain't got the habitat. You ain't got no hunting. Sorry, man. I got a little long-winded on it, Mark. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I enjoy listening to you, so thanks for having us on.
Great to have you on. I saw this. I don't know, miss social media, man. But I saw this on Facebook. I delved into it farther. Steve, this is a great thing you're doing now. It's going to be on the Monmouth Ocean County border on a tract, a public land tract. Go into it. What's involved and the volunteers you have and the donations that you had. And a shout out to that store in New Egypt. We'll get into that in a little bit. Go into the reasons why of this habitat improvement project, brother. Go.
Okay. So it sounds good. So we started this chapter about a year ago. There were basically a handful of us that are diehard woodcock hunters, and we want to kind of help and protect what we love. We got bird dogs, and the two go hand in hand.
Sure.
Great for training, great for hunting. So one of the things that we did was we kind of kicked it around and said, you know, if nobody's working on these projects, who's going to do it for our kids? So basically what we did was we put together a chapter last year. We met with the American Woodcock Society, Rough Grouse Society. They came out, and they have a biologist and a regional director on staff that helps guide us. So we got science on our side, too, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
They came out last year. We put the chapter together. We did a fundraiser shoot and made a little bit of money. And then we started working with the biology team and reaching out to Fish and Wildlife, New Jersey Fish and Wildlife team,
right,
and started talking to them about where we want to do a project. And once we kind of identified a few areas, it really worked out great. Those guys want to work with us. You know, they just need to hear a voice.
Right. Now so far as the parameters of choosing a location, I mean, we work with Jimmy Sloan and Andy Burnett, those people, or lands management?
Lands management team, but those two guys are very good. We've been talking with them. You know, we had a couple of calls just about identifying areas where we don't stock pheasant because we want to kind of be able to spread out some of the resources.
Sure.
And, you know, there's a lot of great public property out there in New Jersey, mm-hmm, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we took a look, and, you know, our chapter's trying to work from Monmouth County all the way down to Cape May. We're going to try to put a few projects together. But
right,
for our first project, what we did was we got a one-acre field that's been cleared in the past, but it's filling up with the invasive Russian olive trees.
Those
grow everywhere.
Yeah. Ugh.
We're good back one point for habitat, but they kind of choke everything out. So what Fish and Wildlife team began doing was they did a reclamation project at the field by clearing it, and they planted some winter wheat in the fall of 2020.
There you go.
So the next step is Fish and Wildlife. We talked to them about doing 150 olive trees that we're going to plant to create staggered growth. Our chapter is going to be the muscle. We're going to get out there and plant 150 trees, and really, these are seedlings, probably about 2 feet tall,
mm-hmm,
and get them into the ground and make some sending ground, make some edge. You know, anybody that chases these birds knows it's all about
right,
the edge.
Yeah, you're, you know, creating staggered growth, and that's all paramount to creating great woodcock habitat. And we have a shout out. It's Animals and Gardens Unlimited, New Egypt. I'll cut across. I'll go to 539. That Wawa there, left. Make a left. Go down that road, nice homes, and I'll come right there, make a left, the center of New Egypt, go up, and that's right on your left-hand side. I'll tell you, they opened up a pretty big tackle shop in there. Good for them. But it's nice that they donated the seedling protector tubes, bamboo stakes, and wire ties to protect the seedlings, you know, as they're maturing. So great job on their part as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was a really nice partnership, you know. They work with the Turkey Federation, too, and
yep,
we just got to talking, And before you know it, Jamie, the owner, was really awesome about it and jumped in. You know, it's not hard to sell good habitat and try to get these projects going. Right. Everybody wants to do it. It's just we got to put a voice together. And, you know, with these woodcock, I mean, they're on an annual decline every year.
It's so distressing, man. It's distressing.
Yeah. Yeah. New Jersey numbers over the past 10 years, you know, you get a decline of like 8.5% from some of the studies I've seen. So the biggest thing is, you know, you've got to make that early succession forest habitat growth happen.
Well, Mark, on a morbid end, when I first moved down to Ocean City, working for an ad agency there, I'd run the boardwalk, I'd run the streets. I'm telling you, in November, especially late November, I'm running. I said, what the hell is that thing? Right on, what's that? West Avenue, Bay Avenue? See this thing sticking up. It's barely light in the morning. And there's a woodcock. I guess that would hit the wire. Same thing along the boardwalk. They'd hit the railings and stuff. I'd have a limited woodcock for breakfast. Not firing a shot. See them on the beach sometimes. We call animal control. They get them because they were exhausted. But it's see the decline as it happened over the past few decades. It's really distressing because they're an incredible game bird. People say, oh, they just fly, corkscrew up, and that's it. No, they don't. They rocket off that ground, man. They make a quail look slow, if you ask me, especially in that heavier cover. So what's the upshot, right? How long before this project is completed that you plan to see, you know, woodcock, maybe more, a few more filtering into the area?
Well, what we want to do is we want to go ahead and do these plantings and let this kind of happen over the next 3 to 4 years with the growth of the alders to take over and kind of create that scrub shrub, as we call it. Say that 10 times fast. So we want to be able to have that growth going there. And, you know, what we'd like to do is, you know, we'd love to hear feedback from people that want to talk about projects on public land. We're open to the ideas, like I said, from May to Monmouth County. So if we can bop around and do a handful of these projects, it's good stuff. And Fish and Wildlife, they've been awesome. They really got their doors open to listen to us and work with us. Great group over there.
That's great to hear, and it's great to see the interaction. Mark, I understand, though, for insurance purposes, if people want to go out and help out with this, it's going to be Sunday, May 16th. It's now the property is on the Prospertown Wildlife Management area, correct? Right off 537?
Yep. We're going to be over there. What we're trying to do is just have people that are members. This is New Jersey. We need insurance,
there
right?
There you go. Okay.
So we have a liability insurance through our parent club, and that's why we want everybody to be members, active members. $35 to be a member for the year, and you actually get the greatest grouse and woodcock magazine going.
Go now. How do people find out about this? Facebook or website? Please go.
Okay, so there's a couple different ways. You can definitely search social media for the Rough Grouse Society or the American Woodcock Society. They are the same thing, just two different names for the different types of critters that they're working with.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a search on Facebook, ours is the Jersey Shore Chapter for the American Woodcock Society. You'll find our flyer out there for the information. You can also send an email to jerseyshoreaws@gmail.com.
There you go.
An email over to me.
Okay.
You know, any information, track you down, then you'll get the word out.
Okay, Mark, question. Now, what start and finish on this planting? What's the deal? 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning? People want to find out what time to get going?
Well, we're going to take a look at what kind of time we have. You know, we have to work with a Fish and Wildlife team. So we're probably going to start at about 8 or 9 o'clock.
Fair
and
enough.
Probably organize and meet at a parking lot. What we do need to do is limit some of our traffic with trucks and stuff into the the WMA. So that's why I need everybody to kind of reach out to me and register, just so I know who's coming and we can set up a meeting time, when and where, and go from there. I think I've already got about a dozen people already signed up.
There you go.
We're really excited
for
about
you.
It. Hoping some Boy Scouts come out too. Young muscle,
yep.
You know?
I can see that. Listen, Mark Dreyfus, Jersey Shore Chapter, American Woodcock Society, is the president. Great event, May 16th, Sunday. Planting of alder trees, creating habitat. Again, save the habitat, save the hunt. Mark, hope to meet you soon. Maybe in a few weeks. You take care, man. Thanks for getting the word out.
All right. Thanks for all your help, and I appreciate you sharing our information. Talk again soon.
We'll see you, brother. Yeah, good organization. Remember, I never heard of it. Like, wow. And here they are. Love my Woodcock. You say, oh, Tom P, they taste like liver. Yeah, I happen to love liver, especially wrapped in pancetta bacon. Ooh, a little garlic on there. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
Some people are easily moved.
Wasn't that just the saddest movie ever?
Whatever. Others, not so much.
Oh, look at the puppies!
Just dogs, but smaller, so what?
But even those who aren't easily moved...
Look, your long-lost brother's been found!
Oh, hi, Mike.
...can be moved by us. Yeah, we're that good.
Use Clark's Moving and Storage in Rio Grande for your next local or long-distance move. Visit Clark's Moving and Storage online at clarksmoving.net.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Back for our final segment on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 1st and 2nd. Let's close out with a couple of reports, starting with Mike Cunningham, Seattle bait and tackler in Fish Alley in Seattle. Mike, how you doing, brother? What is up?
Everything is going great. The fishing is off the charts, so I got nothing to complain about.
Oh, okay. Let's start. Let's start bass. Let's start blues. I mean, can't talk flounder yet. What are you hearing about drumfish? Go, Mikey, go.
Well, the bass fishing's been great now for a month. If you haven't been out there catching these stripers, I don't know what you're waiting for. But the exciting news has to be all these weak fish that are showing up. I mean, 20 to 28 inches, and they are beautiful.
Oh, Mike. You blew me out of it, man. That was great. Go, go, go. Blow it up. Blow it up. What's happening?
So we're getting them in the Back Bay, but yesterday we started seeing some nice fish up in the northern inlet. I'm not going to spot and tell you which inlet it is, but the northern inlet of me had a bunch of weak fish in it last night. If it was pink, it was working.
Mike, numbers. I mean, is this the best run you've seen? How much better? Well, I can't say run, but better than last year and the year previous? What's the deal?
This is the best striper run for bass, 14 to 24 inches, that I can remember seeing, and I can kind of remember the last run. It's amazing. I mean, I have guys catching fish in one night from 12 inches to 40 inches in one night, all throwing lures. I mean, anybody who says there's no stripers around, they just don't know how to fish. I mean, it's amazing out there.
Mike, what are you hearing on the drum? Anything?
I'm hearing rumors from the Cape May guys. I don't hear a lot from you know, that other side of the state, but... It sounds like they did get some midweek. I think this wind is going to shut them down. Mm-hmm. But I bet by next week it'll be really going.
Now, Mike, on the weak fish, strictly in night dealio?
No. Well, they're catching them during the day. Especially evening seems to be the best time.
Uh-huh. Now, what pinks do you have? Is that finesse? Zooms? What?
You're not beating the Bass Assassins. It doesn't matter. You're not beating Bass Assassins. Electric Chicken is... the best.
Wow.
Some of the other pinks, like Pink Ghost, are working good. But you can take your zooms and your finesse. You can take all that. The Bass Assassins are what they're biting on.
Okay, Mike, it's 3 weeks out. But, you know, Mike Critter Cunningham, the man who won the guy, your prediction for the opening of the fluke season, what do you think?
If we don't have a major heat wave, it's going to be awesome. If the weather stays normal, it's going to be awesome. We get one of those streaks where you hit a couple of days in the 90s, I could start running them out. Right now it's flounder season, according to the fish, according to the government. It's not.
Mike, we'll talk to you next week, man. Be good.
Have a good day.
We'll see you. Let's lock it up, rock it up. Noel Feliciano, one-stop bait and tackle. Atlantic Avenue and AC, where it's triple bagging. Hey, Noel, how's it going, brother? What's happening? I want to talk bluefish first. Then stripers, then weak fish, and whatever's else. What do you got, man?
We got the Royals in.
Whoa. Kingfish already?
Kingfish and blowfish. You heard it here.
What? Noel.
Kingfish and the Royals are here, and small blowfish were on the jetty this morning.
Wow, breaking news here. Whoa, tell me about the Royals, man.
The Royals are here. They caught some in Margate Pier. They caught some here in Atlantic City. Let me tell you something. The bluefish are here. The striped bass are here. It just finished on the Tog situation, just finished over.
Right, yeah.
And I honestly think we had a good time on that. But all these bigger fish are coming out the river system and coming up the coast, and it's pushing all this bait up. There's plenty of big herring, too, by the way. It's keeping this whole bait equation alive. Plus, the bunker schools are here, and this is what's keeping everything alive. And they're catching nice-sized weakies. Nice size striped bass at night, and
Nighttime.
You can't get any better than that. The crab situation on Route 30 and 40.
The white horse and the black horse.
Yes, sir. That has been on fire.
Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa. Noel, are these royals pan size? I mean, eating size?
12 to 11 inch royals.
Nice. Now, what about the weak fish at night? Pink bait? What's the dealio?
Weak fish bite is actually at night.
Right.
They have a window of opportunity, usually 2 hours before, 2 hours after a high tide up on certain jetties here in Atlantic City. But once you come down, I put you where the hot spot is at. There's no secrets here. All you got to do is show up, and I put you on a honey hole, because you got to remember something. AC is the fish trap, and there's a fish trap because of a reason. We have plenty of jetty systems out there, and we have super amount of crustacean and fish going up and down these jetties. This is why Atlantic City is the fish trap.
Tell you what, man. We'll see you next week. You take care, brother.
God bless.
Hey, whoa, where we're fish. Everything good on the home front? Everything up? Two thumbs up?
Yeah, everything's up to par now.
Okay, brother. You be good. We'll see you next week.
I greatly appreciate it, man. Thanks.
See you. That'll do it for this week on Rockin' Fin Radio. Get out and enjoy, man. It is to me, it's summer. Okay, June 21st is how far away? Summer. Man, it is here. The bites are on. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rockin' Fin Radio. Get out and enjoy.
95.5 FM and